Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Welcoming in the head coach at Alabama, Nick Saban, kind enough to join us here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Coach, you're right off of coming outside and joining us right now. Thanks for coming by.
Glad to be here. How you guys doing?
Doing well, sir. Thank you.
Not as well as you. Congratulations on the extension. What keeps it fresh for you year in, year out?
You know, every year in college football is like taking a new job. You know, you lose 25% of your team, new roles for new people, new leadership. New coaches, in our case, when we lose guys who get better jobs. So it's kind of every year, you know, about the next morning after the last game, I'm like, okay, we're starting all over here. So what do we have to do? So that's where the challenge comes from. And, you know, pride in performance is something that has always been on the agenda for me. To do a great job to try to help the players be successful, more successful in life for having been involved in the program. So whether it's personal development, academic support, trying to get them to develop on the field so you can have another good team, very challenging. And but it's also very rewarding. So we like it, and we don't like to lose. So if you don't like to lose, you better do it right.
How much better are you that now in understanding what the bigger mission is? Like, I don't know how many years in you probably realize, well, it's really going to be about these kids coming and bringing me their kids one day and saying, hey, thanks. You helped set me up for success. How far along your career did that become important to you?
I think probably the third or fourth year I was the head coach at Michigan State. Everything was always about winning before, always about the outcome. You know, that's what sort of drove me and as a player and as a coach. And then you start to realize that there's more to it than that. If you can teach people to be resilient, relentless, how to compete, how to overcome adversity, there's a lot of things that contribute to winning that you can actually teach in terms of process. So you start transitioning to, well, let's focus on what we got to do to get the outcome rather than just always talking about the outcome. And that probably happened in maybe 1998 or whatever, my third or fourth year at Michigan State. And since that time, it's made me a lot better coach in my approach and relationships with players.
You've also talked a lot about second chances. I remember a piece you did with Charles Barkley. It was really interesting that I don't think you can come in as a 22, 24, 25-year-old and understand that. That seemed to be another thing that's probably an evolution for a head coach and you in particular.
Well, yeah, because, but, you know, that's always been a part of me, you know, compassion for other people. I hate giving up on guys. But you also got to know, you know, who is a good guy to invest in, like Mohsin Muhammad. Everybody wanted me to get rid of him at Michigan State. And I thought the guy had a lot of good qualities. I thought he was a good person. I thought he made some mistakes along the way. But because he got a second chance, he ended up playing probably 15 years in the NFL, and now he's got seven children that are all college graduates. So if he doesn't get that chance, does all that happen? So, I think as long as it doesn't affect the other players on your team, and the other players on your team sort of know that this is a part of the mission. And don't look over your shoulder, and just because somebody else is getting a second chance and you don't need one, that shouldn't be an impediment in your drive to have success and accomplish the goals and aspirations that you have as a person. And our players are pretty good about that.
Nick Saban here with us on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. You talked about the turnover with your staff and also the trust factor, not having coaches look over their shoulder. Is that the key to moving forward with all of that turnover that you have seemingly every year?
Well, you know, we'd like to have continuity in the staff, but we also, when you have really, really good people in your organization and they do a great job for you, and their goal and aspiration actually their sense of purpose and why they do a good job is because they want to become head coaches or they want to move up in their career. That's actually the reason why they did such a good job with you, for you to start with. So you got to have an appreciation for the job that they did and really be happy for them that that's contributed to them being able to have success in their own personal careers. No different than a player. You know, you say a player makes the team better, but the player also wants to play in the NFL someday. So, you know, those coaches all did a great job for us. They contributed to the success. Then the next challenge is to get the next guy that is just as good or better, that's going to bring new ideas and new enthusiasm to the organization, which we don't change what we do. So it doesn't change for the players. The coach might change, but the terminology doesn't change. The philosophy doesn't change. The culture doesn't change. And those people have to learn to buy into those things and reinforce them. And that's why the program just sort of sustains itself, I think. So we'd love to have continuity. Continuity makes my job easier because I don't have to go back and try to teach everybody all this stuff that we're talking about. But I'm also very appreciative of all the guys and what they've done to make the program be successful.
When was the last time you reflected on the idea that somebody had to ask you, the first job as a GA at Kent State, somebody had to ask you if you'd like to do this? Was there almost an opportunity or there was something else that you said, well, I don't think I want to do that? How close were you to saying, because something has to beget the next 10,000 things that happen in your life?
Yeah, well, I never wanted to be a coach. I don't say that in disrespect to the profession. It just wasn't anything that I ever thought about doing. And after we played in the Tangerine Bowl my senior year, Freddie Solomon was the quarterback at Tampa, and we got beat by 1 point, whether it was 21-20 or whatever. And we come back, and I played baseball in college, so I was getting ready to go start practicing baseball. And Don James was our coach, and he was a great coach and a great career at the University of Washington. And he says, I want you to be a graduate assistant. And I said, why would I be a graduate assistant? I don't want to go to graduate school. And I don't want to be a coach. So that doesn't make much sense. But anyway, he had kind of done his homework, and Terry and I had gotten married. She had another year. She was a year behind me in school. So even though I was graduating, she had another year. So I really couldn't leave and take a job. And he said, well, you can't leave and take a job. She's got another year of school. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this for 1 year. So I don't know. It's 40-some years later.
Here you are. One more minute with Nick Saban, the head coach at Alabama, here with us at Maggiano's in Buckhead for the Atlanta Touchdown Club lunch, and going to be their featured speaker today. You talk about the turnover. You talk about the change in the game and adapting as well. Does it still bother you a little bit deep down inside as a defensive guy seeing how this game has changed?
Not really. Not really. I mean, it's challenging as a defensive guy to be able to adapt and adjust to the way the game is played now. But I think the rules in college football has sort of ignited the change throughout the game. Blocking 3.5 yards downfield on a pass play, which leads to RPOs, is a dramatic change in the way you play football. You need to be spread out to do that. To be able to block downfield on a pass behind the line of scrimmage, all right, which is just a rule that applies in college football, changes the game in terms of how you throw screens and how you pick people and run people in the flat. And those are real challenging things to try to defend because they all create tremendous run-pass conflicts for defensive players. So even though I would be bored if we were still running the I formation, if I was a defensive coach. I mean, and I am a defensive coach.
You stack the box and that's that.
That's it. All right,
let's go.
So, but it's not that way anymore. It's very challenging. A lot of adjustments to be made. But it's also fun to watch for the fans because there's more points scored. You know, I think I don't know what year it was, but sometime early on here in 2009, 2010, when we first came, we led the nation giving up 8 points a game.
8 points a game.
8 points a game. Last year we gave up 19 points a game, and we were first in the SEC giving up 19 points a game. All right, so, I mean, and the same, just a reflection of how much more difficult it is to play defense. And good defense to me is how many points the other team scores. You can go through all the statistics you want, but not letting the other guy score is what defines good defense. So that's changed dramatically because people score more points. But we changed on offense because as good a defense as we had, when we played Ole Miss and some of these spread teams that ran RPOs, they scored points against us. And we would lose the game, you know, 44-41. And I'm saying we got to change our style and be able to outscore people when you play teams that are that good on offense.
You didn't want to join them. You wanted to beat them at their own game, and you guys have certainly done it. We know you have to run. I just want, as specific as you can be, during game week, what's your favorite moment of game week? And I know practice might be sort of a bigger answer, but is there specifically something you enjoy game week still to this day? You enjoy it more than anything else that you do during that week?
I think just being involved in the game. You know, as a competitor, everything you do throughout the course of the week in practice and meetings and watching film and breaking down film and presenting game plans to players, you know, it's all with the idea that it culminates in how are we going to perform in the game? How did you teach this? How did you present it to where the players can go out and execute it? And, you know, the game's kind of the stage that you see and evaluate, how do we do all this? I mean, did we do a good job? Did we not do such a good job? So I think the game itself and the anxiety leaves you when the game starts and you're focused on the next play and the next play and the next play and you're coaching players, you know, every down. And you don't look at the scoreboard and try to coach for 60 minutes in the game. So I would say the game itself is the most enjoyable part.
How great is it to know that something you told somebody on Wednesday shows up on Saturday?
It registers.
That's what we told them, and they did it. How great a feeling is that still to
this
day?
I think that's what it's all about, you know, is you want to see the things that you try to get guys to understand is going to help them be successful come to fruition. And when it happens, it's a great feeling.
Coach, we know you got to run. Thanks for coming by and having a conversation with us. Wishing you nothing but the best.
Well, good. I appreciate it, guys, and thanks for having me on.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.